Good evening, church. Okay. It's good to be back. I know y'all are about tired of me today. I'm closing out on my last one. It's good. It's good to be back. I thank God for allowing us this opportunity to meet. You know, never ever take things for granted. If I could offer any advice, please, that's my advice to you. Don't take life for granted. Life is really short. God is in control. The last thing you want to do is breathe your last breath, and on your way out, realize that you had it wrong. You didn't know who God was. That's a terrible thing there, going out like that. So I also want to thank the leadership of the church. That's imperative. That's something we're working on now. And I like it when we're growing together. We grow, we move in a forward direction. We actually create a foundation for the kids and for the church itself, so we can have some actual support, some strength, and we can draw souls in and do some of God's work. My church family, it's amazing to see how many coming back to see me or hear me. Did you know? Maybe you didn't know I was going to be here. Anyway, I'm back. And my wife, and them, and my kids, I shouldn't say them, my wife. Good to have them back. Anyway, my supporting scripture for this afternoon, it won't be long. Y'all don't get mad with me. This ain't going to be long. My supporting scripture will be coming from Luke 23:39-43. This is something I've been dealing with because I've been talking with a lot of people. Right here in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been interchanging conversation with a lot of people, which gave me a lot of chances to ask and talk about some of God's work and how they feel about things. So this, where this is coming from. So when you have it, say amen. Again, it's coming from Luke 23:39-43. I'll read. And one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on. Saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Okay. I apologize for bumping over that. I should have read it before I got started. But I want you to understand where I'm going. Here, for the last couple of months, I've been meeting and talking with some guys. And like I said, they say, "Well, Grady, how is things? How did you get to where you were, highest things like this? So, you know, you look like you're doing good and this, that, and the other." And my response is, "No, I don't have anything. It's just the good Lord. I don't have anything. This is how he got it." And I was telling him, I said, "If you'd have asked me 40 years ago, would I had this, I'd have said, you lost your rabbit mind. If you'd have said, Grady, you'd even been living and doing in that kind of shape, I'd have said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. If you'd have said, Grady, you were going to retire from an officer, you know, distinguished with honors, retire from the army as an officer, distinguished with honors and all this other great stuff that man measures by, I'd have said, I don't know what you're talking about. Not me. I'm from Willard, North Carolina. But be that as it may, it happened. It happened. And one of the points that I was trying to get to him is I said, you don't know what God got in store for you. You don't know what's down the road for you. You don't know until you give God a try. Now, the things that you count and know for a fact that's failed is because they are things that are produced, directed, and brought by man. They're going to fail. They're supposed to. But the stuff by God is going to be just like that. You don't understand how the success works or how it comes or whatever. He can make a way out of no way. This particular passage here strikes me as the one that would probably be most needed with the type of people that I was talking when I say the type of people. These are young people. And this is the reason why I got to call my family are young. They're young. And I want to be able to talk to them in a way that I can persuade them, because you can't make anybody change. They got to want to change. They got to want to change. You know, I'm going to give you this example. When I was teaching, I was the instructor of the cycle, I guess, 17 times. I left with more awards from the schoolhouse than anything. I knew my job. But to me, I knew without question it was all a gift from God. It was. I finished science with 144 average. I went from E to E5 in 18 months. I retired a CW4 expert on the M1 and all ground equipment on down. I received the Legion of Merit, Bronze Star, several AAMs, 3 good conducts. I'm an expert shooter. I'm an expert on the M16, the 45, the 9mm Beretta, and a sniper rifle. I can do demolition, all that stuff. That's for the military. And I used to could run pretty good. I believe that was called Daddy could whoop me. But anyway, but I had no idea those things were in me. And this is the point that I'm getting to, is that I would have counted or put all that on something else until I realized God's impact in my life. So when I talk to the young folk, I don't want them to get dissuaded to say, we're old. You don't know nothing about what I'm doing. Not you old man, this, that, and the other. I need to bring your soul to church. I need to get you to want to come. I got to be able to convince you. And they say, well, why do you say that? I can tell you about some scenarios that I was in. I went to combat 4 times that I was in that I had no reason to be here. Don't have any reason to be here whatsoever. I jumped out of airplanes for 20 years. My parachute collapsed, I guess, 40 or 50 feet off the ground when a soldier hit it, tore my rib cage. I seen some things. But it didn't take that to convince me that God was real. What it took to convince me that God was real was the things that I was getting, I was never satisfied with. Isn't that something? So, my message for tonight is, it doesn't matter, it's never too late. On the passage, Jesus is being crucified. He has one thief on the right, one thief on the left. The thief on the left, supposedly, according to the theologian, says, if you're the Christ, get down, save yourself, and save us too. That's what one on the left says. The thief on the right, in so many words, says, don't you know who you're talking to? This man has done nothing. He says, listen, me and you, justly so, should be here. We've done this stuff. We got in this trouble. We messed up. But he's done nothing. He said, Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is why it's so important to talk to young folks. Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. So, my title back to this is, it doesn't matter, it's never too late. The problem that the young folks say is that, well, I've been doing this so long now, it's too rough for me, it's too hard for me, it's too late for me, I can't do it. No, it's not. No, it's not. Here's a man nailed to the cross in his execution. And you're not going to get this opportunity because it only happened that one time. He's there with our Savior. And as the Savior is for us, he was to him. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That means all the stealing that he done, all the bad stuff or whatever, my Lord and Savior will readily forgive him. That means that if you, I don't care what you've done, what you said, what you got into, you are never out of reach of God if you live it. You just have to make the right choice. You just have to make the right choice. So when I look at this lesson, I come back to Isaiah 64 and 6. Isaiah 64 and 6. Why? It's because the church people have a reputation of driving people off. We have a reputation of seeming and acting more holier than them. We have a reputation of carrying ourselves like we 100% right. Like we've never been wrong, like we've never told a lie, like we've never done any dirt on anybody. I thank God for what he got here in this book. I don't have to quote nobody else. I can deal with this. Let me read you Isaiah in case you got yourself on a pedestal. Isaiah 64 and 6 says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all are righteousness. But we are all as unclean thing, and we all are righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Every single one, we all. We all. So, my message, when we get ready to try to talk them into coming to church, please remember, we all are the filthy rags. We all are unclean. We all struggle. We all fall short. And why remember that? Remember, as long as the blood is running warm in your veins, whether you just before execution or what, Jesus is your answer. Jesus is your answer. Not your conventional message, but it's a needed message. It's a needed message. I try my very best to learn from all the mistakes I did as a kid when I come up. And I don't want them to fall in that same hole. When you're talking to other people, you can't talk to them like you've never done anything wrong. You're not going to ever bring them to Christ. You got to talk to them like, "I'm beside you, brother, not in front of you. I'm going through the same thing." Everybody, in my analogy I use, everybody have a wagon to pull. And your wagon is full of sins. What your sins are, that's between you and God. But you do have a wagon. For those of you who don't think you have a wagon, your wagon is filled with lies. Try to understand that. But you do have a wagon. And there's only one way you can unload that wagon, and that's through the Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So I come this afternoon and I say, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. And it's never too late for you to make the right choice. Yeah, we got consequences for what we do. We have a law of the land. But what extends past the law is my Lord and Savior. So when you're talking, trying to bring souls to Christ, which is what we talked about in service this morning, which is part of your mission, part of your job, which is what you're supposed to do if we're all going to be disciples. God didn't issue you a platform to look down on anybody. He kept you at the same level so you can look at everybody. Remember that when you want to bring souls to Christ. And you do that by incorporating God's plan. You do that by hearing the gospel, believing in Christ, repent of your past sins, confess Christ, be baptized, and live faithfully. Anyone, if you see a need, We ask that you come now as we stand and sing.